Book of Joshua, the 22nd chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua 22, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, and we're going to start reading at verse number 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandments of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possessions in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, Return with much riches with your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold and with brass and with iron and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possessions, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, the precious word of God. I thank you tonight for the privilege of meeting together here as God's people. As we meet, we hear from you, Lord, through your word. And Lord, this old preacher, he just needs your help tonight. He needs your blessings. He needs your wisdom. He needs your power to do that which you've appointed me to do. And once again tonight, Lord, help us, Lord, in all of our hearts to just look to you tonight. And Lord, be willing to listen and hear the principles and precepts of God's word tonight so that, Lord, we might be better for you than we've ever been before. It's our desire, Lord, to be more like you. And Father, I trust through the preaching of the word of God, we'll help accomplish that. And then, Lord, we ask you to use us to your glory and honor. For Father, that's what you've ordained us to do. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 23 gives us a little something kind of where Joshua is in this situation. If you notice, it says, and it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 23, came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and was stricken in age. We find Joshua here at the end of his life. And Joshua was a man who called the people together and gave them counsel. If you will read the last three chapters of the book of Joshua, you will find some of the sweetest, greatest counsel that's ever given in the Bible. And he gave it to Israel and gave them some instructions on what they were supposed to do. And this is coming from a man who was at the end of his life, who had walked with God all of these years. And so he had something to say. And I just believe with all of my heart, with all of his knowledge and all of his years of experience of walking with God, I believe he had something to say to Israel in which they ought to listen. I think also we ought to listen. Here's a man of God, great man of God, coming to the end of his life. And he had some things he wanted to tell them and give them instructions on what they were to do. I think of the Apostle Paul there in 2 Timothy. I feel the same way about him. Apostle Paul come down to the very end of his life. He gave some instructions to Timothy. And I think that that's what needs to be. We need to hear from men of God who have walked with God. And all of the years they've walked with God, they've experienced God in a way that most people have not, because of the years that they walked with him and served him, not wavering in their faith. And so this is the kind of man, Joshua's a man that I want to hear from. I want to hear and see what is it you've got to say to us here at the end of your life. Now, we're certainly not going to get to very much of it, but what I want to cover a few things with you tonight that I think that will help us. I think that the counsel that Joshua gives is still relevant today. I believe it's still the same thing that we need to hear today. And what Joshua said to Israel certainly would be for us. I, as a preacher, have been preaching close to 35 years now. And been down the road a ways, been around the block a few times. And I recognize something, and I've recognized it for a lot of years. There's people who are going to listen to the counsel of God's word are people who's been touched right here. Not up here. People who's going to walk with God are people who's going to know in their heart what God wants for them, and that they ought to walk with him because he's God. He has a right to tell us what to do. Amen. And the folk who are not going to let it hit here is probably not going to change. Are you hearing me? See, I talk about soul winning. I talk about those things. I talk about going out and winning souls. You know, I mention that quite often. I just believe with all my heart the reason that people win souls is because they've been touched here. The reason they go out and they go soul winning, they tell people about Christ, is because they've let God do something in their heart. And I'll never, no matter what I say or do, I'll never be able to get people to go soul winning if they don't let God touch them in their heart. And I think that's true in other areas of our Christian life. What are we going to do? How are we going to live? Well, it's all on whether we let God get a hold of our heart. When the heart is taken, all is won. I have that in the front of my Bible. Amen. Don't do me any good as a preacher to try to just get you to do something because I tell you to do it. That won't last long. That'll go by the wayside in a short period of time. But when God gets a hold of your heart, you'll do it because you know it's right and God got a hold of your heart. You understand what I'm saying? See. Well, Joshua's got some advice. I shouldn't maybe say advice. He's got some counsel. And it's from God. And he wants to tell him a few things before he goes on. Now, there's a lot of counsel out there today. Psychologists, psychiatrists, and all of those kind of people want to give us counsel. And that's like the blind leading the blind. Amen. I don't need counsel from a psychiatrist. Amen. I need counsel from the Word of God. Amen. That's where I need my counsel. It's where you need your counsel. See, we're getting all this earthly, worldly counsel today. We don't need that. We need it from God's Word. And so when Joshua got ready to go off the scene, God was about ready to take him. He wanted to give him some counsel. Not what he thought, but what God was telling him to tell them. Amen. So the first counsel that he gives is found in chapter 22 here. He talks to an army who had agreed to come. And of course, when they came across Jordan, there was three of the tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites. And excuse me, there was two and a half tribes. The Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh wanted to stay over here on the east side of Jordan. That's where they wanted their lot to fall. That's the land they wanted. And so God okayed that. That was okay. That was within the plan of God. But he said, what you have to do is you've got to go over the Jordan River on the west side, and you've got to help secure that land for the rest of your brethren. You've got to go with them. And so they agreed to do that. And so what is happening here, that has been done. They've completed their mission.
And they are getting ready now to return back to the east side of the land where it had already been secured and where their families live now. Their families was there, and they was, as we'll find out, I may not read it, or may read it, but 40,000 troops is what they sent over the river, on in River Jordan, over to the west side to help the brethren secure the land. And so this went on for quite some time. And so now they was getting ready to go back home. The war was over. They was getting ready to go back home to the east side of Jordan. Now, what he's doing is he's dealing with some things about them going back home. This, remember, this was an army. I think we could understand that, you know, God has an army. Hopefully you're one of the soldiers. But God has an army. And our job's not done yet. It won't be done until Jesus comes or until he takes us home. But this job here, this army, they had completed their mission. And they was getting ready to go back home, so he had to deal with some things about them getting ready to go back home. Verse 2 and 3, he deals first of all is how they performed. How did they take care of that mission that God had given them? In verse number 2, he says, "And said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I command you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandments of the Lord your God." See, what Joshua says to him is that you was given a charge, you was told to go over there and help your brethren, and you did exactly what the Lord had commanded through Moses, your servant. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. So he was certainly bragging on them and saying, you performed well. You done what you were supposed to do. And let me say to you, maybe don't now. I don't know how you feel. It may not mean that much to you right now. But there's one of these days when we get home, it's going to be real important to us how the Lord says we performed. We're going to want to hear that, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We're going to desire to hear that. I believe that with all of my heart. And so the Lord, one of these days, when we all get home, every single one of us, we're going to have to face him at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the white throne judgment. That's the judgment seat of Christ on how we did. And I just want to, you know, I've done this for years. I've tried to always encourage my people. You keep your eye on the judgment seat of Christ. You live your life with your eye on the judgment seat of Christ. You live in such a way as you remember, one of these days I'm going to stand before him. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. Don't make any difference what anybody else approves of the way you're doing. It's whether he approves. And every one of us will have to stand before the Lord and give an account. And he's going to let us know how we performed. Just like Joshua was telling the people here, you performed well. You did exactly what you was told to do. First of all, he says you did what Moses said to do. Moses told you, he says, and he said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. I want to go back to Numbers for just a moment, if you want to turn there, find Numbers 32. And I will read verse number 20 and a few verses there. But Numbers 32, verse number 20. And Moses said unto them, that's in Numbers, 32nd chapter, verse 20. Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Build your cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. He says back here, Moses told them, this is what you're to do. You're to arm yourselves. You're to take an army. You're to go over on the west side of the bank. You're to help your brethren. And he said, they said, we'll do it. And you know, whether we have a specific job that God has appointed us to do, let's be sure of one thing. When God saved you and he saved me, he expects us to do what he says to do. The appointed task that God has given us. You may not be appointed with the task of being a pastor, but you are appointed with a task. And you're to do that task that God has appointed you to do. And so they was able to come to this place and look at this and say, you know what? We did exactly what Moses said to do. Now, just for a moment, think about that. Moses is the one that was giving them instructions. Now, it was God's word. He was using Moses. But it was the authority of a leadership that God had put over Israel, which name was Moses. And they followed what Moses said because God said to do it. And he said, Moses said to do this. And he said, we done it. We done exactly what we're supposed to do. Let me just tell you something about some things today. And when I talk about our word, listen to me. In fact, I'll use an example. This week, I told Jerry I would do something. And I think it was 24 hours later that I hadn't done it. And I said, Jerry, I'm sorry. I forgot to do that. There's things that you and I are going to forget. Now, you youngsters don't think so. But you add 60 years to you youngsters, and you're going to forget some things. And so I'm not talking about little things that we forget. We will forget things. There's no doubt about it. We forget. We're not talking about things here. We're not talking about the little thing. We're talking about contracts. We're talking about vows made. They didn't go over there and say, oh, we forgot that we were supposed to go over and help you folks. These are vows that are made. You can't, marriage vows today don't go too far, it seems like, in the world anyway. And they can't say, oh, I forgot to be faithful to my wife. I forgot to be faithful to my husband. You know better than that. They didn't forget nothing. So we're not talking about just somebody forgetting something. We're talking about vows that was made. And they had made a vow to go over on the west side of the river and help the brethren. Why? Because Moses told them to do it. So we better be careful about vows we make. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe sitting out here sometime, somebody may have made a vow to God a long time ago. I'm going to keep myself pure. Well, you better keep yourself pure. You made a vow to God Almighty. You better keep it. You don't just forget that. That's a vow made. Amen? You see, so what I'm saying is we're talking about vows that were made. They said, we will do it, and they did it. They did exactly what they was told to do, you see. So I believe we better be careful about the vows we make. And when we make them, we better take them serious because God does. I believe when you stand before a marriage altar, I think you better be sure of what you are doing and that you're willing to keep that vow for the rest of your life. Don't you? I believe that's good preaching. I believe it's right. But there's a lot of other things. You know, we do. We tell God, we'll do this. There's times in young people's lives, they come to an altar and they say, God, you know, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. Well, you know what? You're supposed to keep that vow. God remembers it. Amen? God remembers it. So I'm saying to you, these people did exactly what Moses said to do. Now, look here in verse number 2. Not only did they obey Moses, they obeyed Joshua. You know, why? Because they had respect for authority. This was authority that God had put over them, and they had respect for it. I want to take you back over to Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua, and let me read something there to you. Verse number 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. I like that because they said, Joshua, God was with Moses, and it's necessary that he be with you. He's with you. We're going to go with you. And we'll not only go and do what Moses said, but we're going to do exactly what you said.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the reason I'm bringing that out is simply this, you see. They were committed to a cause, not a man.
Amen.
The cause was to go into Canaan and to drive out the inhabitants. That was a cause. They were not committed. I mean, they were committed to the man because God had put the man there. But their real commitment was to the cause they had. That's like in a church. You submit yourself to the leadership of the pastor, but what you're doing is you're submitting yourself to God for the work that needs to be done here. That's who you're submitting yourself to. And so they were loyal to the cause, and that was conquering Canaan. Generals may change, but the cause doesn't. Moses died and Joshua come onto the scene, but the cause did not change whatsoever, just the general. Amen? You see, let me tell you something. The work of God is greater than any personality. We are thankful and grateful for the people who God put in our midst. But it's not the personality, it's the work of God that needs to be done. He uses authority, he uses those he places over, certainly does. But it's all about the work of God. Amen. And there's no person that's more important than the cause. No person. Amen. So he said, they said, what will we do? Well, we'll obey Moses and we'll obey you. You know why? Because we got a cause. This is what we're supposed to do. And we're willing to obey because God puts you over us. Amen. Amen. And then in verse number 3, he says, and ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. Not only that, they had a commitment to each other. They had a commitment to their brethren. You know, it says many days there, but you look this up, and when I'm talking about the whole thing here, they were over there close to 7 years. They was away from their families for close to 7 years. They went across the Jordan and was over there helping to drive out the inhabitants. It was around 7 years. That's commitment. And it was commitment to the brethren. And you know what that commitment was until? Till the job was done.
Amen.
Till it was finished.
Right.
That's what we ought to commit to. We ought to commit till the job is done. We commit to marriage, we ought to commit until the job's done.
Amen.
That's when one dies. You get to join a church, you ought to commit to the church till the job's done.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to just commit to it. Till the job's done, till it's finished. Amen. Living for the Lord. You ought to just commit yourself to live to the Lord till the job's done.
Right.
Let me tell you when the job's done. It's when you die.
Right.
Job's done. You go home. You don't have to live down here for the Lord anymore. It's over. It's done. It's finished. But you ought to commit yourself until it's done, till it's over. You ought to commit yourself to your family.
Amen.
Till the job's done.
Amen.
Do you ever get done raising children? Depends on who you ask. You ask the young people and they say, yeah, there's a point, he's done. And you ask the parents, say, no, you never get done. May change the way you do it, but you just never get done. You know, you're always concerned about your children. I don't care how old you are. If I live to be 100, my children's going to be up there quite a ways. And I'm probably going to be puddling around saying, oh my goodness, what's going on in their lives now? You get concerned about them. You care about your children. Amen. And you know what? You ought not be concerned until the job's done. I know the whole situation changes. I know all that. I've preached all that stuff to you. But at the same time, there will be concern for the family. Amen. Until the job's done. Not only that, in verse 3, The Bible says, he says, and unto, but have kept the charge of the commandments of the Lord your God. Notice here, folks, that was what was behind all of this. Why was they loyal to Moses? Why was they loyal to Joshua? Why was they loyal to the brethren? Because they was keeping the commandments of God. See, if you get a hold of that and you understand that, you won't have any problem serving. You know why? Because you're just doing it because God said to. You're following the command of the Lord, you see. They kept the charge of the commandments of God. And let me say to you, that is key to all the three other things we've just talked about. You see, if you love God, you keep his commandments, you won't have any trouble with authority. You'll say, Moses was over me, I'm going to do what he says. Joshua was over me, I'm going to do what he says. You see, the brethren, I'm committed unto them. Why? Because you're keeping the commandments of God. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, we've got to get a hold of that. And when you start serving God, and then from the heart you start serving God, you won't have any trouble with all this other stuff.
Right. Amen.
People rebel, you know, and do all those things. And the problem is their relationship with God. That's where the problem is. They may think it's with people, but it isn't. It isn't with flesh and blood. No. It's with God they're having problems with. Amen? Sure. So I'm just simply saying to you, how can we outwardly not be right with men and say we are right with God? Can't be done. Can't be done. You see, to be right with God, I mean, to be right with men, you got to be right with God. This is probably an offside story, but up in Midland, Michigan, when we went up there, we went to Midland, Michigan there, Midland Baptist Temple. And we found all kinds of things in that church that God wanted straightened out. And he had a fellow that he knew would be faithful to just do what he said. I'm telling you, a lot of things was wrong up there. There was sin in the church. I mean, there was sin in the church. They was members of the church, had joined the church, and they was just living together. They wasn't even married. Financially, they were a mess, using all kinds of unscriptural principles in finances. So they came down to, they had two different parsonage properties, and they couldn't pay for either one of them. And so I found out, well, they voted to buy that other one in a business meeting. And I said, well, all you folk voted to buy this. I said, where are the folk that voted to buy this? I said, well, a lot of them left. And I said, goodness sake. So I made my way around to some of them that had left. And I said, you was in a business meeting and you voted to purchase this property. And you bailed out. What right have you to sit in a business meeting and vote for something and then bail out? It's a bunch of baloney. If you vote for something in this church, and not only if you vote for it or not, you may be against it, but if the church decides on an item, it becomes church policy.
Right.
And you're for it whether you like it or not. Because why? You're part of this church. If it isn't unscriptural, if it isn't something unscriptural, you just need to learn how to like it. So I did. I really did. You know what I done? I threatened up there. I threatened them. I said, I don't know what's proper or not, but I threatened them. I simply told them one day, I said, we are not going to be thieves. They wasn't paying their bills. The bank, not president, the lady I went in to open an account with, when she found out I was a new pastor at Midland Baptist Church, looked up and said, good luck. That's scary. That's what she said. Good luck. You know, had a terrible reputation of not paying their bills. So I just told them one day, I said, we need a certain amount of money. We got to have this in by a certain time because that's when it's due. And we pay on time around here. And I said, I tell you what, if it isn't in here, I think it was on a Tuesday, I think, when it was due or something like that. I said, I am getting some help. I'll hire him myself. I'll move everything out of this church. I'll sell the piano. I'll sell the organ. I'll sell everything. We're going to pay our bills.
Amen.
And I would have done it. It's a funny thing. On Tuesday, all kinds of money started coming in. It really did. It came in enough to pay the bills. See, this is foolishness. Who do you think we are as Christians? You made a vow when you signed that. Amen. Simply saying to you folks, we gotta keep the vows that we make. Understand? We're Christians. We're different. You can't hold forth a testimony and cheat people. What kind of testimony you have when you cheat people? See, our relationship with God determines our relationship with others. Our relationship with God determines our relationship with family. Whether we understand that or not, you better get a hold of it. The relationship with God, between you and God, is going to determine your relationship with family and others around you. Okay? So get your relationship with God right. Do what he said. That's what these folk did. They did what he said. Then in verse number 4, you find out, he says, "And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, and he promised them, therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and into your land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan." Here we find that he released them from their obligation. It's all over. You've done your job. I'm going to release you from your obligation. I don't know how they must have felt that day, but I have a feeling they must have felt good. I'm almost, you know, on around here every year, you look at these seniors that graduate and they get that last pace done. And I want to tell you what, smiles come all over their face and they just feel like school's over. It's done. It's relief. It is. It's amazing. Joshua said, "Hey, school's over. War's over. You can go on back home." Amen. That must have been something. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, "Boy, isn't that something? One of these days, our responsibility will be over." In all seriousness, our responsibility will be all over. We'll go home. God will say, "It's time to go home. It's done. You don't have to fret it anymore. You don't have to carry all that. It's just over." I think it must have been a wonderful feeling for these 40,000 troops or however many was left. I'm not sure all that. Said, "We get to go home. Done a good job, and now it's over." Amen. And what did he say? Well, he said, go get into your tents. Go home. Basically, what he was saying, and care for your family. If I could only encourage every single family, mom and dad that's raising children, oh, please care for your family. Take care of your family. I want to tell you, the reason our nation is in such a mess is because the families are in such a mess. The reason our churches are in such a mess is because the families of the churches are in such a mess. It determines the strength of the church. It determines the strength of a nation. And he said, go back and go to your tents and take care of your family. For if I can say anything to you, take care of your family. If you don't, who's going to? Moms and dads, I know the responsibility. I know the heaviness of it. But don't let it get you down. Do whatever you have to do to take care of your family. Go back to your tents and take care of your family. Whatever comes up, whatever you have to do that, get it done. Get it done proper. And young people, don't you fight against your parents. Don't you fight against them. You fight against them, you're as far away from God as you can get. You're as unscriptural as you can get when you fight against your parents. You're to obey your parents. It's what the Word of God says. And it doesn't say if you like it or if you want to. It says to obey your parents. Doesn't say because you want to do something else that's okay to do it. It is not. Go back and take care of your tents. Take care of your family. And then he gives them some rules for life. Verse number 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandments of and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So he says unto them, he's going to give them some commandments. He says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand that the law of God is your authority. Now this is hard. You know what? The reason I'm saying it's hard, it isn't hard. But it's hard to get it through hard heads. That the law of God is our authority. And that's what he was telling them. You go back home, but you remember something. The law of God is your authority. You do what God says. Did you ever know, you've heard me say it many times, did you ever know that this book is not a book of suggestions? It's a book of commandments. See, we take it, the Christian world today takes it as a suggestion. Oh, God suggested I stay pure. Huh. No, God commanded. It's God's commandment. He doesn't suggest that you not steal. It's a command not to. He doesn't suggest you don't lie. It's a command not to. And so he's saying that the Word of God must become your authority. And that's what he was telling them when they go back home. You let the law of God be your authority. And even when he's talking about purity, because he talks about do all the commandments. Listen, folks, you and I won't have any trouble with purity if we obey the commands of God. Do you ever think about that? No, if you obey the commands of God, you won't have any problem with purity. And that's what he was telling them. You just obey the commands of God. You do what God says. And then, of course, he said to do it sincerely. He was saying to them, you do it, you walk, you keep it. In other words, it's more than talk. It's walk. It's not just talking about it. You've heard it all your life, too. You heard people talk about this and talk about that, but have trouble doing it. That's what he was telling them. You go back home. You don't just talk about it. You do it. You do the commandments of God. Whatever God said to do, you do it. See, that's what he was giving them instructions as they headed back home. And when he talked about keeping the commandments, he was saying this. That's priority. That's not second. That's not third. That's priority. You keep the commands of God. That's priority. That's first place. Amen. And then he told them to love the Lord thy God. See, love God. That's what he was telling them. Now remember, you love God. You love God. See, that'd keep you out of a lot of trouble. Just loving God keep you out of a lot of trouble. And he talked about his loyalty to God. You see, basically what he was saying was you cleave unto the Lord. You cleave unto him. You know, that's what God gives instructions for a husband and wife to do, to cleave one to another. The word there, cleave, speaks of a clevis. I think most of you are familiar with the old-time clevis. It was in U shape like this, and it hooked a disc or a plow. Marvin, we remember those things to a tractor, and you put a pin through it, and that helped, that held it to the tractor. That's what God is saying to a husband and wife. You're to cleave one to another. And what he's telling them there is, you cleave unto the Lord. They was getting ready to go back home, and the battle was over. But he said, now you can't go back home and just forget all these things. You've got to cleave unto the Lord. You've got to do what God says. Your loyalty must be to him. And then when he talked about with all your heart and with all your soul, listen to me, folks. That's when true servants step out. When there's a love for God with your heart and your soul, you won't have any trouble laboring for God. No, you won't have any trouble with it. See, why? Because you love him with all your heart and soul. Amen? You love him. And you want to labor for him. You want to work for him. You want to serve him. That's what they were saying when he'd go back home. Joshua said, when you got to go back home, don't you forget to work for God. You keep busy for the Lord. And then look in verse number 8. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold, with brass, with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. Two things here. Do you notice the size of the reward that God gave them for faithful service? And I know this preacher don't know all there is to know about it, but I know this, God's got rewards waiting for us. Oh yes, he does. For faithful service, he's got rewards. I know that according to scripture. I know that. You see, you're never going to owe God anything. God's going to see to it that all his bills are paid. Always has, always will. And he always showers upon God's people, as he did here, great rewards. Now, I'm not talking about silver and gold here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about eternal rewards that God is going to give to his faithful servants. And folks, it's the desire of this preacher's heart is to see every single one of you stand before the Lord. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh, that's my desire as a pastor. I want every one of you to stand before him and hear those precious words. And I don't worry about what rewards he's going to give you, because he'll make it right. You just don't have to worry about it. He'll make it right. You see. And they went back home with great rewards. And I think that's a picture of us going back home one of these days. And God will take care of all those things and give us that which we've labored and done for him. He'll see to it, to the rewards. I don't worry about those things. I just know he'll do right. And then he noticed there, he said to share them with the brethren, just for a couple comments. We got to remember something. There was some people back across the river. They wasn't fighting any battles, but they were sticking with the stuff. And we can never forget, because, you know, front lines sometimes get all the attention. You got the front lines up here, and they're the ones battling. They're the one doing this. Well, that's good, and that's right. They did. But he said, now you go home. Don't you forget to share them with the brethren. A lot of people right here in this church that does not, maybe what we would call on the front lines. But I want to tell you something. We better share the blessings of God with them, because they've got a whole lot to do, and they've stuck with the stuff. Amen. You see, God don't reward faithfulness because of who you are and even the amount of work you did. He faithfully awards his servants because of their faithfulness to what he said to do. You might be a prayer warrior. You be faithful at that. Just be faithful at it. Just keep doing it. Amen. You see, it's not who you are or what position you hold. It's being faithful to what God has commanded you to do. I believe that with all my heart. So share it with the brethren. Amen. We've got to be sure that sometimes some of these people that maybe is not lifted up, and people who are not knowing too much, we can't forget them. Because God doesn't. It's one of the reasons we set before you an example when we brought Sarah Pope to this community. All of those years, she served the Lord. 73, 4, can't remember, something like that. 45 years, she just served God. Never married, never had a family. I wanted you people to honor her, because it's right to. No, it's right to. Amen. It's proper. It's right. And I wanted that within our church. I wanted you to see it. I wanted you to understand the principle of it. We did right in doing that. You can't forget the brethren, he says. Amen. So those were some instructions that Joshua gave. They're good instructions for us. Let's pray. Father, again today I thank you for your goodness and kindness, and thank you for the marvelous grace of God. Thank you for what we've learned tonight from your word, and trust, Father, that we'll be able to take those things and learn from them and help us to be more like you. So tonight, Father, as this invitation is given, we simply, Lord, give it unto you and ask you to deal in all of our hearts, the need of our life. Whatever the need may be tonight, it may be, Lord, there could be someone here without Christ, doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we would trust that this would be the day, the time, when they give their heart to Christ and believe upon him and are saved. We trust that Christians tonight, God's touched their hearts, Holy Spirit's convicted or just encouraged them and helped them. They may need to come to an altar, a prayer, and just get alone with God for a little while. We put it into your hands. Your will be done. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.